Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit because He loves us so much. In Genesis 1, it said, "The Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters." And the Word never said that He stopped. The Lord has been working with man from the beginning. Ever since before and after He made Adam, He was working with a glorious purpose for mankind. The Lord is in the business of restoring the earth to be a blessing to people. He loves every one of us. He loves us very much. I said, "Lord, how do you process man? How do you think about man?" He said, "I see a part of myself in every one of them." So that made me really take a better look at people. When I see people, I see the potential of God in them. God made them for a purpose, with love, with godly intentions. And the enemy causes people to be estranged from that kind of love. It all goes back to the love of God. He loves us. That's why His Spirit is moving on the earth. That's why He's looking to and fro, finding somebody that He can bless. He wants to be a blessing, to show Himself strong in your life. Because when God, when you receive His help, when you get to know Him as a Savior, and then as your Lord, He's only your Lord if you'll obey Him. That's when He can't be your Lord if you disobey Him. Now, God has good intentions towards us. Satan has terrible intentions towards us. And the last broadcast we did last week, I pointed out that if Satan went around just being honest with people, saying, "You know, I can't wait to take you to hell." If he did that, he wouldn't have any business. He wouldn't have any clients. Nobody would listen to him. If he appeared in the essence of who he is and just told you his honest intentions for you, you wouldn't go down the road with him. But he lies to people, and he lies to people as individuals. He lies to a family, he lies to a neighborhood, he lies to a country, a county, a city, a country, and nations. And people buy into those lies, and he creates a false culture. And I like to trace things back to where it all began. Now, in Israel, in the days of Joshua, after God gave them the promised land, and Joshua led them into the promised land, as long as Joshua was alive, they cooperated. At the end of Joshua, they said they would possess the land and stay out of idolatry. But guess what? I traced everything back for Israel now, not every nation, but for Israel, to Judges chapter 2, because God was going to use the nation of Israel to be a blessing to every nation. So you got to understand the heart of God. That's what they were fighting for. Our redemption. And there were witchcraft nations there. They had to be driven out. See, if you take all the landmass and put all the continents back together like they used to be in the days of Adam, the land was in one place. See, if the waters was in one place on the second day, then the land was in one place also. The land divided in the days of Peleg. If you read, if you studied Genesis chapter it's 10 or 11. In the days of Peleg, the continent, that's when the land divided. All right. But if you put all the continents back together, Israel would be in the center of it. So the Lord was going to use Israel to represent who He is to the earth. That was His first plan. And Moses and Joshua understood God's strategy. So they were supposed to take Canaan land. It was a good purpose in it, a godly purpose. But see, once Joshua died, Joshua had the revelation that they needed. And they cooperated with God through Joshua. But when Joshua died, then they started going crazy. They started operating by the culture of the day. Listen to Judges chapter 2. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Then he said, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and as God and their God shall be a snare unto you. This is where the false culture originated. This is where you can trace things back to. Because if Israel fails, so goes the world. All right. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. See, bad ideas come from the world system. Satan comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So when you start learning from the Lord, you're breaking through the enemy's ranks. People will gladly give you bad advice because they don't know it. They don't see what you see. When you start learning from the Lord, you have greater vision. The proverb said, "Without where there's no vision, the people perish." So when Joshua died, he had the revelation of God, and he could relay it to the people. Now, when he died, they couldn't go to Joshua, so they started following their own path. And that's exactly what Satan wanted them to do. Live aside from the revelation of God. Now, by the Holy Spirit came to guide us into all truth. As you draw near to the Lord will draw near to you. If you're a Christian, if you believed on Jesus and you went to the Father through Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you. All you have to do is knock, seek, and ask. We talked about that last week. If you draw near to the Lord, he's going to definitely draw near to you. And these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. You can listen to last week's broadcast and this week's broadcast and every broadcast. newlivingletters.com. It's on the audio page 6. And also, I put some writings on the Living Letters page. All right, now let's continue. Read verse 4 again. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Now they're trying to repent. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Now, this is the key verse here. Where there's revelation, where there's vision, people live. Where there's no vision, people perish. Okay, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, Timnathheres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. Now they're going backwards to the persuasions of the world, of the nations around them. Baal worship was an evil religion. And it included all forms of fornication and idolatry. Okay, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam. You can't fight Satan if you think like him. You have to learn how God thinks. And then through the revelation that God will give you, he'll show you how to overcome the tactics and wiles of the enemy. See, Satan's not going to be honest with you. He's going to give you a lie to believe. And you're going to think that if you do these things, it's going to make your life better. But it's not. Okay, verse 12. And they forsook the Lord, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them. and provoke the Lord to anger. See, when people trust the ways of the world, they're not learning of God. They're not receiving revelation that God wants to give them. So they don't know what to watch out for. They can't see their condition. They don't know they don't know that their life is entering into a terrible disaster until it's too late. All right, verse 13. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Now they are the people of God serving Baal. And then the enemies are around them. And the Lord has to wake them up. He can't use them in an evil condition. He can't use preachers if they go rogue. He can't use anybody to represent heaven if they think like the world and if they operate according to the world. Now, many times people hurt people because they begin to entertain the ways of the world. Everybody that has hurt you, all Christians, any preacher that have hurt you in the past, forgive that preacher and you will heal up. Understand, if you can't control what other people do, but you can control your response. So you can go to the Lord, love them anyway, but always, my friend, look to the Lord. Look to the Lord and receive his help, receive his present help, because if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. He'll fill in the blanks that you have questions about, and he'll help you stand and break through the culture. This is a culture war. You got to break through it and live like Jesus. Verse 15 said, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord has said, and as the Lord has sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Now, I promise you, God has raised up people that will help you, that they're out there. You got to go to the Lord. You know, God raised me up to do this broadcast to help people because he's good. He's going to raise you up and use you to help others if you're willing. But God has people out there that would be a blessing. So in verse 16, God always has a solution. If the enemy has causes a problem, God has a solution. Here it is. Verse 16, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring out to other gods. You got to get rid of the interest of the world. And you don't use your strength. Use the Lord's strength to do this. We read verse 17 again. They wouldn't listen to their judges, but they went a-whoring out to other gods and bowed themselves unto them, and they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. They didn't do like their parents and those that stayed true. They went a-whoring after other gods. And when the Lord raised up them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. See, they were getting in trouble. And if you keep reading Judges, they always got in trouble. Then the Lord allowed their enemies to just make a mess of things and put them in bondage. Then they'll cry unto the Lord because they were being oppressed. See, anybody that follows the way of the world, you're going to get oppressed. The enemy is going to do things against you while you're in his territory. But the Lord saying, come out of his yard back into my yard. And he raised up judges to help them have victory. Verse 19 said, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves, watch this, more than their fathers, following other gods. And if you study the book of Judges, you'll see that pattern. All right, they corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Now they're serving gods that's not true. They left the God that is true to serve gods that's not true. Now watch this. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because of that, this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened, have not listened to my voice. I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. So God would have finished driving out their enemies, but he changed his mind because they kept operating according to the ways of their enemy. All right. Then, and this is why, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep my way, keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Why should God drive out a corrupt nation when the nation he's driving them out for is just as corrupt? See, it's one thing to be corrupt, but when you know better and do worse, you're worse. So they knew they had a reference point. They saw the miracles of God coming out of Egypt. They saw the water. They saw the sea become a path, a dry land path, and the water standing up on either side. They saw the cloud by day, the glory cloud by day, and the fire, the glory fire by night. They saw all this. They saw the healings. They saw the miracles of manna. They saw how God gave them water from a rock. They saw all these miracles, and they hardened their heart and worshiped idols. The people in Canaan land never saw those kind of miracles. They only heard about them. But they didn't repent. But they didn't see them either. They didn't see the handiwork of God. They knew about it, and there's a reference for it. The Philistines knew about it, but they didn't change their ways. But Israel knew about it and still wouldn't. They did worse. So God's not going to drive out a nation for a corrupt nation for a more corrupt nation that won't repent. That doesn't make sense. So when you study Judges, they did things that way. But when you receive the revelation of the Lord, you get to know him as a person. Now, you can trace a lot of things right back to this point in life after Joshua died. And then the elders that were with him, once they died out, then the people started operating according to the culture that was around them. Now, everybody has to break through culture. There's no way around it. But it's easy. All you have to do is look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Don't look to man. Look to God. Look to his ways. Learn him for yourself. Don't let him be the God you only heard about. Let him become the God that you know. And that makes all the difference. When you commune with him, if you do what everybody else is doing, that's the kind of success you're going to have. But if you do it God's way, your success is unlimited. And what God can do in your life is unlimited. Now, I want to also share this. A lot of us love to use the devices to read the Bible on. We got tablets and phones. They got real good Bible programs. It makes it so convenient. But let me tell you, all that stuff is electronic. If America goes to war, the internet goes down. And where will your Bible be? Buy paper book. Get some paper book Bibles again. My wife was at our Bible study, and pastors encouraged people to go back to paper because you need to have your Bible. You need to have it so that you can get to know the Lord. The Bible, the Lord gave us a reference. A man said one time, do you think they corrupted the Bible? I said, well, let me put it this way. How could God judge the world if we didn't have a straight measuring stick? The Bible is true, folks. It'll help you understand who God is, even though it's translated from Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. It's a translation, but the Holy Spirit is alive, and the Word of God is alive. All you have to do is fill your heart with the Word, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And like we said in the last broadcast, you know, when God speaks, it's not spooky. It's God. He's a person. He loves you. and he loves you very much. See, the wisdom that's from above is first pure. But the wisdom that is from above, this is James 3, verse 17. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. God can talk to you. He can relate to you. You wouldn't be the first person in your age bracket to receive from him. You could have been a heathen all your life. You could have been a terrible sinner all your life. Get to know God through Jesus Christ, and the Lord will start teaching you. You can be a child, and the Lord can give you dreams and visions, and he can teach you. Anybody that asks God questions, the Lord can, he know how to relate to you. So give him that chance to do so. I wish that it was taught more on that level, but most people just get they're learning of God, but they don't have that relationship. But the wisdom of God is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. See, there's a lot of wise teachers out there. The best teachers, I noticed something about the best teachers out there. They make peace with their students. You can't teach a person if you don't like them. You can't teach a person, they can pick up how you feel about them. You can't teach a person that you have something against. But see, when you make peace with people, now you can teach them. You can help them, and they can receive from you. It's important because, and there's a lot of wise pastors. See, when you love people, people know it. When you don't really care, they know that too. Even if you don't do anything mean, the way you love people, people can pick it up. They can detect it. And it affects whether they hear you or not. But remember, God loves you. And you can't look at God with satanic glasses. You can't look at the Lord with worldly glasses. See, in the world, people think God just wants to take away my fun. They have a false representation, a corrosive representation of who God is. God was always the same. If you take the love out of his commandments, Israel, they were slaves in Egypt, and the main authority figure that they had a reference for was Pharaoh. And they always acted like God was another Pharaoh. They saw when you said the word God, that was the first thing in their mind, the ways of Pharaoh. When they didn't have water, they said, "Well, see, God, the Lord brought us out here to let us die. We don't have water. We don't have food." Now he did all that. He took them out on the Passover, showed them what to do. They did it. They saw the miracles, and now they're accusing God of going to let them die. That's not who God is. You can't separate God from his love. And if you don't have a revelation of his love, you're not going to trust him. And if you don't begin to yield to him and trust him with your life, you're not going to get to know him. And if you don't get to know him, then he's just the God that you heard about. There's no other way to juggle this. This is just the way it is. But when you seek him in your situation, the healing process began, and Jesus will finish your faith. Faith has a beginning. Faith believes from the beginning, in the duration, and once it's over. Now, once it's over, it becomes knowledge. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Jesus is not going to leave you hanging. You're going to trust him, and he's going to take you through the whole thing. And you're going to win and come to the point that you'll laugh at the things that trouble you the most, just like I did. In every situation I sought the Lord, he always showed himself strong in my behalf. And I want everybody to know him on that wise. Because the wisdom that is from God is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. It's not going to be a mystery. If God is speaking in parables, people that he's speaking to in parables need to get saved. But as his son and daughter, his children that love him, he's going to spell it out for you. Because it's easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. It doesn't matter if you have, it doesn't matter not only what race you are, but you know, sometimes people were born and their parents wasn't married. See, and then the devil played with their mind. Well, my parents wasn't married, and then I was born out of wedlock. See, when God talked to you, whether your parents was married or not, or even whether they committed adultery or not, is irrelevant. It's without partiality. That's what that's there for. It's for, see, the love of God is for everybody, and it's without hypocrisy. God is not a hypocrite. He loved you for you. What your parents did is irrelevant, and what you did in the past is irrelevant. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He gave his life he went to hell in your place, and he rose again so you could live with him. This is the foundation of your faith. Now I'm out of time, but just consider his love. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. Stay in victory. Stay in covenant. And stay in the love of God.